Time to check in on the Cincinnati Reds. They are in town to take on the Padres, starting a three-game series tonight at Petco Park. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com, covers the Reds. Nice enough to join us here. And, Mark, we appreciate it. How's the trip to San Diego so far?
Well, I'm a pretty happy guy. I got some Mexican food for lunch.
Smart.
always the best out here. I don't want to give a plug unless I'm allowed to, but it was really, really good, and I am so full that I'm going to probably need a nap.
By all means, go ahead and plug it, because
yes,
we're
always looking for a spot.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys know it. I mean, I'm not even sure if it's that good by San Diego standards, but Lolita's, there used to be one across the
street
from the ballpark.
But I went out.
I took a ride out to the outer edges of town and found a Lolita's, I think, in Kearney, and very, very good.
Now, never mind the Reds. I just want to know, like, as you travel around, do you have certain spots in certain cities and, you know, certain foods that you got to get when you get into a new place?
Absolutely. I can get you a grilled cheese in Milwaukee. I can get you a hamburger in, you know, a lot of different cities. So, yes, there's a lot of different things I like. I'm not a foodie in the sense of, like, I don't need five-star dining or James Beard Award winners cooking my food. But if it tastes good and it hits right, there's about maybe often at least one place, if not two, in every city I go that I try to go to. And I also try to look for new places. But sometimes I fall into the rut because if I'm only in a city like San Diego once a year,
yeah,
and I don't go to Lolita's, that means I'm not going to get it for a long time. So
yeah,
that's kind of how I go.
Yeah. Well, this is our kind of conversation.
Exactly.
Mark, we appreciate it. Great stuff.
Last
thing, when we go to Cincinnati, I mean, is it the chili? Is that the go-to there? Or is there something the rest of us don't know about?
Well, definitely Skyline Chili is the most popular. It's either you love it or you hate it. I love it, but I'm not a native of Cincinnati, but I still love it. But a lot of people are like, what is this? There's some other really, really nice restaurants that are really good restaurants. There's a great fried chicken place called The Eagle. There's just great food of any kind. There's a Vietnamese place. There's Thai places. There's the Cincinnati food situation has improved mightily since it was just known for Montgomery and Ribs and Skyline Chili. So they've upgraded the restaurants quite a bit. But Skyline is definitely one you have to hit if you're coming into town.
All right, Mark, you sound like my kind of guy. But I know we're talking about food, and I love food too. But let's talk a little bit of baseball here. You got a pretty exciting team that you're getting an opportunity to cover. Obviously, Ellie De La Cruz is the guy that everybody's paying attention to. But there's quite a few young guys on this team that have really kind of rejuvenated this organization a little bit.
Certainly. It started really in 2022, coming out of the lockout, going into spring training. They purged pretty much all the veterans off the roster, save for Joey Votto. And they were unpopular moves at the time, and it was tough for fans to go through a 100-loss season. But you saw the building blocks of what was going on by the end of that season, and then by 2023, some of the people they traded for were ready to be in the big leagues, and some of the prospects they already had in the system were ready to be in the big leagues, and they all kind of started trickling up starting in mid-May of last year and leading into De La Cruz in June and Encarnacion Strand in July, and a lot of these prospects are now in their second season, and you know, some of them are struggling. One of them is hurt, Matt McLean. He hasn't played yet this season, but De La Cruz, for instance, is off and running, and he's having a spectacular year. And the pitching side, too, Andrew Abbott, Alexis Diaz and guys like that have also been showing their integral parts of this team.
Mark Sheldon is with us from MLB.com. We're talking about food, but we digress and go into a little baseball as well here. The Reds are, you mentioned De La Cruz. I think he's got 18 stolen bases. The rest of the team is running wild. It's, from what I've seen, Mark, I mean, is this a green light? And I mean, do the Padres have any chance to slow down this running game this week?
Well, they certainly have a chance. It's possible, but they are aggressive, and that's something they did last year as well. Before 2023, they didn't have a very athletic roster. They were more known for power. They had a lot more veterans, and they didn't run very much. I think they only stole like 58 bases in 2022, and that was like near the bottom of the league. And then last year, I think they led the league. So It's just they all have a green line, and it's not just stealing bases. It's taking an extra base. If there's a guy on first, he's going to try to go to third, if not score on a base hit, if it's possible. And they're always looking to run. They're always looking to take an extra base, and that's something that's been blended into the DNA of the team now, because they will try to steal an extra base. They will try to be aggressive. They will certainly run the contact play with a runner on third and a ground ball is hit. They're not afraid to make the team make a perfect play to get the guy out, and they hope they can induce mistakes. And De La Cruz definitely does that. He'll even steal third with two outs. And one time a couple weeks ago, the ball was thrown into left field and he scored. So there's different ways he can hurt you, and the running game for anybody can hurt other teams if they apply it right.
Let's talk a little bit about Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, he's a baseball's version of Wembanyama. And he, the size, the freakish athletic ability, and he seemed to, at least in this first month of the season, he's made some adjustments, it looked like. What has he done differently to start this season? I know he got out of the gates really well last year when he came up and slumped down the stretch, but he's come out the gates well again here. Has there been some adjustments for him?
There has. In the off season, he went home to the Dominican. He worked with the Reds hitting coach, and we made some personal visits both in the Dominican and in Miami. He even worked a little bit with Juan Soto, who's a longtime friend. The basic adjustments he's made is he's kind of lessened his leg kick. He's waiting a little longer on pitches before he commits to a swing, and it's kind of helped him go the opposite way a lot more, both right and left-handed. And those seem to be the minor adjustments, and he's being a little bit more selective. He is striking out a lot still, but he's also walking more than he has. He's already had a four-walk game. He's had a few two-walk games, and he seems to be doing better. But when he makes contact, if it's not a home run, and he can hit them far, but he can definitely hit them the other way into the gaps, and you know, he can turn a single into a double very easily as well.
Cincinnati Reds certainly are one of baseball's young, exciting squads. They're in town to take on the Padres this week. Mark, let me ask you about tonight's starting pitcher for the Reds, Nick Lodolo. He's been, I think, only a couple of starts because he started on the injured list, but they've both been real good. And, you know, we hear so much about Hunter Green. I don't think we're going to see him in this series. But talk a little bit about the Reds' young starters.
Yeah, Lodolo is a former first rounder, and I think they took him in 19, and he's just a big left-handed guy. And what you're going to see tonight is he's got his mid to high 90s fastball, but he's got a devastating curveball, especially on the right-handers. He can get it on the back foot, and a lot of times he'll hit a guy on the foot, or he'll hit him on the foot while they swing and strike out. So it's a big pitch. It fools a lot of guys. He's definitely been a jolt to the rotation. You know, he had only seven starts last year with a stress fracture in his tibia. And then he had a little calf issue coming out of spring training. So he's been back for three starts, and they really like having him. But then you have Graham Ashcraft, who certainly has got like a triple-digit splitter that he uses, and a slider, and he can really hurt hitters. And then lately, at least I think this time around the rotation, a familiar guy you guys know is Nick Martinez. He is in the rotation as Frankie Montas has been on the injured list. And he hasn't done well as a starter, but he's definitely helped him out of the bullpen. He's got a couple of outings. He's got a four scoreless inning and a three scoreless inning, I believe. And his starts haven't been as sparkling, but they really like having him. And missing somebody, I know. I mentioned Andrew Abbott. He's another guy that really came up last year. He's a left-hander. He can hit all four quadrants of the strike zone very well. He's a good location guy. And even though he does give up a home run every now and again or walk guys, he's generally, when he's on, especially if he gets his fastball in on right-handers, which is something he's been working on, he's a very good and very tough pitcher.
We saw that here a little bit with Nick Martinez as well in terms of his starts versus what it looked like when he was coming out of the pen. He certainly was extremely effective for the Padres when he came out of the pen. Mark Sheldon with us covers the Cincinnati Reds. Lastly, for me, Mark, David Bell at the helm here. He's been here for a little bit. I mean, what are the expectations for this ball club this year? I know last year they made things interesting. The Central seems to be wide open this year. I mean, Is there any expectation that this team could perhaps be one of the dark horses?
Yeah, as far as the team from the inside, they think they have everything that it takes to go to the postseason, and anything short of that will be considered a grave disappointment. They were really disappointed they didn't make the playoffs last year. They had 82 wins, and they just missed. And a lot of guys took that very personally, and they've learned from that, and they feel like with the improvements they made, they deepened their infield a little bit by signing Jamer Candelaria, who is not doing very well, but the move was made. They added Nick Martinez to bolster kind of the depth of the pitching. They added Frankie Montas to provide a veteran. So those were moves that were targeted for their shortcomings. They had a lot of depth issues in both the bullpen and rotation, and they wanted to address that. So they feel like if they don't win the division and go into a playoff run that takes them rather deep, it's going to be a disappointing season. So I think they think that. Now, of course, they have some issues as well. It's a division that's wide open, but they're not perfect. They're just a couple games above 500, and they haven't totally played to their ceiling yet. They're missing Matt McClain. They're missing TJ Friedel, but they think if they get at least Friedel back in the next couple of weeks, they could be much better than they are right now.
Cincinnati Reds, Padres start a series tonight. Mark Sheldon with the preview. We appreciate it, Mark. Before we let you go, please pass along hello to one of our other favorites here from San Diego, Emilio Pagan. We miss him. It's been a few years, but I think you probably met him. He's a terrific guy. And now I think I'm going to go get something to eat. So
go stuff yourself.
I appreciate it, Mark. Enjoy your week in San Diego.
Thank you very much, guys. Take care.